If you would, turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Continue to pray for PD as he is probably doing the last message this morning with the students. I'm not sure exactly what that time it is or what time it he'll be finishing out today, but hopefully you as parents know that. It was kind of nice because I'm a youth pastor for 26 years. I walked through the foyer this last weekend, and I'm like, see you guys later. Because lots of years, we'd plan our own retreats and things, and that's when Petey would come over and speak for us. And so, but Petey this last week, he was doing a lot of the planning and organizing, along with Carter helping, and then also speaking. So, let you know, Petey, he likes to do a lot of things. And so, he does it fast. And he does a good job. So thankful for him, but be in prayer for him this morning as they wrap up. So as I get to preach, I'm in the book of Colossians. And so just excited to kind of take that next passage of scripture. So if you would turn to Colossians 1, and today we're going to look at verses 9 to 14. And so the overall theme of the book of Colossians for us, I've entitled the whole series Rooted in Christ, and that's based out of the passage in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, that tells us that as a child of God, you need to be rooted, built up in your faith, and that helps you to be able to walk the daily life. And you're going to see a lot of those same concepts coming out today as we look at this passage of Scripture. And so the big idea for the book of Colossians is that Christ is enough. Because within this culture, there were a lot of religious, I would say religious ideas that were sneaking in that said you needed Christ plus you need this, you need Christ plus this, and Christ plus this. And oftentimes, even in our culture, we think that there's other things that we need in our culture other than Christ. And to be honest with you today, if you take your life and totally invest it in Christ and what he has to offer, your life will literally and radically be changed in a way that you will turn around and you will begin to change other people and make an impact in other people as God works in your life. And you're going to see some of that come out today. I just kind of want to review a little bit because Colossians teaches that Jesus is not just part of our lives. He is our life. It also teaches that we don't need to add to Christ. He is the fullness of Christ. And here's kind of where we get our main theme, that we don't grow by religious rules, but by being rooted in Christ. This morning, are you rooted in Christ? Yes. By having a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and accepting him as your Lord and Savior, but as your daily life rooted in him. When I was a high school student, one of the things that I tried to do to prepare for a test is lay the book on top of my pillow at night so that when I wake up in the morning and I'm ready for the test, all the answers are right in here. Did anybody else try osmosis? Aaron, are you agreeing? You tried it? He's still a student. He's probably still trying it. Does it work? No, but I wish it did. I wish that just the answers would just pop into my head and I would just know everything and it would just so come so quickly. But that is not the way that works. Sometimes we want to try to do the same thing with our spiritual growth. We want to wave the magic wand. We want to try the process of osmosis to unlearn a lot of the things that we and the ways that we lived before Christ. And we want to just want everything to happen so quickly and we're radically changed immediately. Well, there are things in our Christian life that do come easy like that, but there's a lot of things that don't. And so the Christian life does take a little bit of work and opportunity to become a mature Christian. I was reading an article this last week, and I thought it was really interesting because it was talking about passing our faith on to our kids. Some of you still have kids in the house. Some of you have kids that are adults, and that's me. My kids, I can't believe it. They're like 10. Just kidding. I wish. I think my brain's still stuck on that. But my oldest son, his birthday was the other day, and he was 29. And I don't even know how that's possible. And our other sons are just 2 years difference from that. And, you know, just thinking about passing our faith onto our kids. And even now, I have a grandbaby. And this last week, we had a major feat in the accomplishment of grandfatherness. Because this last week, my daughter-in-law sent me a video. And our little granddaughter, she was saying, and I think PD said that a couple weeks ago about his granddaughter. But my granddaughter was here for 2 weeks during Christmas, and guess what my training regimen was every day? Say, Papa. And I would kind of whisper it to her, like, Papa. And that is exactly what she does now. She whispers it right back. And I was trying to brainwash her while she was here. So, like, to really get that P sound, I would, like, whisper, like, pa-pa. And even now, she sounds a little French in the way she says it. But it's really cool. And so, I was, like, really intentional with her, trying to teach that to her, but I doubt it was anything I did. I don't know if my kids have been trying to help her say that, too, because they thought... you know, that I would think it was cool. But as I was reading this article, he actually said this last week, faith is not absorbed by osmosis. And I'm like, wait a minute, I already have that illustration in my message. But he was referring to, like, our kids. Like, sometimes we want our kids to grow in their faith, and we just want it to happen by chance, by putting the book underneath or the Bible underneath their pillow at night, hoping that they would eventually walk in the faith just like we were. But the author goes on and he said that our faith is transmitted through attention, example, and time. Children raised in homes where faith is serious tend to take it seriously. Those raised in homes where it's decorative often discard it upon entering adulthood. You cannot outsource formation to Sunday school once a week and expect resilience. Souls require more care than houseplants. And so, in our spiritual lives, if we want to grow spiritually, it's going to require care. If we want our kids to grow spiritually, it's going to require care. It doesn't just happen by chance or even osmosis. My big idea today and the idea of the message is to walk worthy of the Lord. But the big idea of spiritual growth is intentional. I want you to walk away saying, what can I do to grow spiritually? What can I do to grow spiritual muscles, to begin to understand what the Bible teaches? And sometimes it's unlearning even 20 or 30 or 40 or 50 years of things that we did wrong until we came to Christ. And then it's learning the ways of Christ to begin to how to live. The Bible in Ephesians chapter 4 and Colossians chapter 3, which we'll get to eventually in this book, it calls it to put off and put on. And so you put off the ways of the world and you do a 180. And you begin to put on, like clothing, the ways of Christ. So you unlearn things that you've been doing for years and years and years, and sinful habits, and things that you've processed, you've been involved in, and you walk a totally different way. Because Christ is in the process of changing. Imagine planting a garden and then walking away for 6 months. And you return. And you expect those beautiful tomatoes and cucumbers or even flowers, but instead you find weeds, thorns, and even really dry soil. Why? Because the garden and the growth requires cultivation, it requires care, and it requires attention. As we look at this passage of Scripture today, we're going to see that that's the way growth, spiritual growth, is the same way. We're going to see two things here, is that God reveals both what He wants for us and also how we can grow. So in this passage, we have a prayer because Paul had specifically not been with these believers. He was away. He was in prison. He was writing back to them because of the things that he had heard back. And he was saying, I'm going to pray for you. So let's read this passage in Colossians chapter 1. There's a lot here, so don't get bogged down. I'll kind of walk through verse by verse and explain it. And hopefully today you walk away with just some simple, practical things that you can implement in your life to help you to grow spiritually. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, it says this, "And so, from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to God, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power, according to His glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sin." One of the very first things that I see from this verse, this passage of verses, in verse 9, it's Paul praying for them to have spiritual understanding. When someone comes to Christ, one of the things that God wants them to do, and even other believers, is for them to begin to walk in this new faith that they have. Or if you've been saved for 30 years, we're to continue to begin to grow in our spiritual understanding and to continue to walk daily in what Christ has for us. Paul here did not pray specifically for the believers to be comfortable. He prayed that they would become more spiritually discerning. And as a pastor here at Oakwood Community Church, one of my goals for you and prayers for every one of you is that the Lord would grow you in more spiritual discernment every day. In Ephesians chapter 4, it tells us that the church was given pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Why? Because in verse 13 it says, "Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature to the measure of the stature of the fullness of God." If you're a Christian, you shouldn't just stay where you are spiritually, but that there should begin to see little baby steps of growth in your life. One of my favorite verses in Colossians is chapter 2. It says, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him." And it's beginning to walk that spiritual walk, to live your faith day in and day out. And how are you going to do that? As you begin to gain spiritual understanding and knowing what the Word teaches, you can begin to go out and begin to live it. As I mentioned earlier, sometimes there's some unlearning that needs to be replaced with spiritual understanding and spiritual growth. And you replace, you put off, and you put on, and you begin to make that change in your life. In verse 14 of Ephesians 4, continuing on in that passage, why do we need to grow in our spiritual walk? It says, "So that you may no longer be spiritual children, just tossed to and fro by the waves that carry you about with every wind of doctrine, by human cunning and craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, unto Christ." And so as you continue to walk your spiritual walk, My prayer for you is that you would have spiritual understanding, that you would begin to grow in what you believe and what the Bible teaches, so that you can go out into the world that is sinful and wicked and begin to make godly choices and influence people in the world as God has placed you out there in the community to make an impact in people's lives the way someone has made an impact in you. When I think of my life, there are many people that made an impact in me. I wouldn't be here today if there weren't other believers that helped me and encouraged me along in my spiritual walk. Sometimes we try to live the spiritual life without spiritual wisdom from God's Word and ignoring the indwelling Holy Spirit that's in us. It would be just like going to a city that you've never been in and not turning your GPS on and trying to find your way around. You're going to waste a lot of time. You might end up going down a one-way street, especially if you were like in New York City or something, because you're just like, oh, I'm just going to go my own way. And you kind of just make your turns. You're like, oh no, all these cars are coming at me. And sometimes we do the same thing spiritually. We're just like, God, I got this. I can handle this my own. And all of a sudden you realize, what did I just do? Sometimes we try to live our lives on our own understanding rather than what God has for us. Today I just want to share some practical things under this heading here of prayer for spiritual understanding. How can you grow in spiritual understanding? Read scripture to fill your heart and your mind. I don't know if you have like a reading plan or some kind of plan to be in the Word, but it's really important for you to grow in spiritual understanding, to be able to get to the point where you are personally reading the Word yourself. One of the awesome things about being a child of God is that you have the freedom to read the Word of God yourself and to understand what's saying. You have that freedom. You have that right to learn and grow on your own. Definitely come to church. Definitely be fed here, because that's one reason why we're here, to help you to grow in your spiritual walk. But if you can feed yourself, you're going to grow even faster. Just even this last week, my son sent me a picture of our granddaughter, and she had food all over her mouth. You know why? Because she was feeding herself. But someday, as she gets a little bit older, she's going to be able to feed herself, and she's not even going to make a mess anymore. She's going to be able to take that spoon and just be able to... You know why? Because they're giving her the opportunity right now to take the opportunity to feed her own self. But eventually, she's going to be able to feed herself without making a mess. And the same thing applies with us spiritually. Sometimes at the beginning, you're like, I don't know, I don't understand. But continue to rely on the Holy Spirit that's indwelling you to continue to feed you spiritually. And I would encourage you, have a plan. If you want to know or you need some ideas as to how to read the Bible, come talk to me. One of the reasons I'm here is to help you to grow spiritually. I want you to grow. Second thing, pray before a decision. Say, God, what pleases you most in this situation? These are just simple, practical things to help us in our spiritual walk. Next thing is seek counsel from mature believers. You may be a newer believer, and you're still like trying to understand. Find someone who's deeper in the faith than you that you can go to and say, I have this question. I've been reading this week. Do you know what this is talking about? Everyone in this church, I would encourage you to have a believer like that in your life. Slow down before reacting. Slow down. Sometimes we just react rather than slowing down. Here's a good quote for you. Wisdom often hides behind silence and prayer. Sometimes the best thing to do is to say nothing. Let me think about that. I'll get back with you. Rather than jumping right in, sometimes it's best just to kind of slow down and say, God, what do you want me to do in this situation? So, spiritual growth should be intentional. Spiritual growth doesn't happen overnight. It takes time. But it also doesn't happen if you don't seek after it. If you're not desiring to grow and put yourself in situations where you're in the Word, or situations where you're saying, hey, that equipping group that they've been talking about recently, that launch, live, lead thing, I need to come to that because I want to grow spiritually. So I'm going to take the next 6 weeks to make an investment in my spiritual walk. Everything else will have to slide for a couple weeks because this is going to become my priority for this time. So, in James chapter 1, verse 5, it says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. Now, in this passage, you may get to the point where you're like, wait a minute, all this is talking about is just gaining a bunch of knowledge. Well, I mean, I think it is saying you should gain biblical knowledge. You should gain biblical understanding. You should gain biblical discernment. But as you begin to learn knowledge and discernment and understanding, what God wants you to do with that is not to be like, look how smart I am, and get a big inflated head because now you know all the stories of Noah and Abraham, and you study end times, and you know this and you know that, and you know about this book in the Bible and that book in the Bible. That is not really the point of that. The point of growing in knowledge, discernment, and understanding is so that you can go out and begin to live the truths that you begin to know and understand. So God wants you to take that knowledge and filter it through your heart and through your mind and come out with things that are spiritually minded, spiritual truth, spiritual discernment, so that when you're at work, you can begin to make godly decisions and live godly attitudes and godly behavior in the way that you live. And so that's what the point is here, as Paul is praying for them to have spiritual understanding. Because as we come to verse 10, he says to them, you do all this so that you can live a life that is pleasing to God. So that you live in a way that is glorifying to God in your everyday decisions. It says that you could live in a way that is worthy of the Lord. So the purpose of spiritual wisdom isn't to just become smart. The purpose of spiritual wisdom is to be faithful. The purpose of spiritual wisdom is for us to walk in daily obedience and faithfulness to Christ. What about you today? Are you growing in a way that's allowing you to walk in daily faithful obedience to Christ? Are you seeing your life change right before your eyes because you're listening to the Holy Spirit rather than your flesh? Paul lists four traits here from this passage, fruits, you might say. The first one is bearing fruit in every good work. In verse 10, it says this. It says, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, bearing fruit in every good work. See, a healthy tree produces fruit. Likewise, a healthy Christian will show outward signs of inward transformation. As the Lord works on the inside of you, now you begin to understand and discern, and you begin to live different outwardly. So your attitudes, your responses, you begin to change. And what did I say? This takes time. Some things happen immediately. Sometimes you're radically saved and things just change just like that, like God takes them away. But there are some things where you radically are fighting through some of those struggles that you're trying to unlearn that you've known for a long time, and God is beginning to convict you of those things to say, I shouldn't have this in my life anymore. I'm a child of God. So bearing fruit. I have an apple tree in my backyard, and when I moved in, I didn't understand it was an apple tree until it started producing apples. But honestly, the apples are terrible. Because I don't think anybody's done anything to that tree probably for years. And you know what I would like to do with it? Get it out of here. But I am feeding a lot of the deer that are across the street. So I guess it does produce something. But as a Christian, we should begin, as a Christian, to produce fruits like love and kindness and generosity and forgiveness. These are some evidences that should begin to show in our lives. I want to ask you a couple questions about your life, and I ask myself the same questions. Am I more loving as a Christian this year than I was last year? Do I tend to complain less than I did before? Am I more serious about my sin and grieve when I jump into sin? Do other people see my actions and see Christ in me? One of the things that I want to remind us is that fruit does not earn salvation, but fruit reveals our salvation. And so as Paul was praying this prayer for these believers, he wanted them to have fruit. The next thing is that he wanted them to increase in the knowledge of God. Here's that same kind of concept that we were just talking about in verse 9, to have spiritual understanding. As a Christian, you never arrive. I've been a Christian since I was 6 years old. I grew up in the church from probably the week after I was born. My parents brought me to church and like, here he is. And I've been in church all my life. I went to Bible college. I studied in a Christian school, kindergarten through 12th grade. And you know what? I'm still learning. And there is a lot in the spiritual life that I am still learning. God has given me opportunities, but I haven't arrived. I still understand. God, teach me. When I look and read this book, I'm like, there is so much more I need to understand and grow in the knowledge of God. Knowing God is like drawing water from a well. And you pull a bucket up, and you're like, that is so good. Let's get another bucket. And just keep pulling it up. You'll continue to find that the Word of God is a deep well. It's endless to grow in your knowledge of the Lord. Just a few practical helps. You can study one book in the Bible slowly and deeply. You might say, I'm going to take the next month, and I'm just going to focus on this book and read it over and over and over and over again, and you'll begin to understand, wow, look at the biblical knowledge that I'm gaining from reading this over and over and over again. Many of the people that I meet with for discipleship, I tell them, we're in an era in 2025 where we have more study helps available to help grow Christians than we ever have. If you want to grow spiritually, I could recommend a study Bible for you. You read the scripture, you read some of the notes from the bottom, and you'll truly begin to learn and grow. There's also podcasts out there left and right that if you find some good Bible teachers, I mean, you could grow in your biblical knowledge very quickly. I mean, within our context and our culture in 2025, and I've been in ministry almost 30 years, there are more tools and more resources to grow in your walk than there ever has been. Take up those tools and opportunities around you to grow in the knowledge of the Word. I already mentioned it earlier, plug into Treehouse for your kids. They're going to be teaching the Word downstairs for 6 weeks on Wednesday night. Plug into the equipping groups here that start March 11th to say, hey, where am I? Am I a newer believer? Should I jump into the launch class or even live or even in the lead class? So a life that pleases God bears fruit, also increases in the knowledge of God. In verse 11, it says there, you can please God by being strengthened with all power. In our Christian life, God does not leave us without power. Sometimes we as believers, we're trying to, like an electrician might try to look at a concrete wall and say, I'm going to run a wire through that wall. I've got my fist right here, and I'm going to take my fist and I'm going to put it right through that concrete wall so that we can run that wire. We would all look at them and say, that is absolutely ridiculous. Don't you have a drill? And don't you have a drill bit that you can plug into the power and be able to get through that concrete wall just like that? And sometimes we do not use the spiritual power that is available to us in our spiritual walk. The Holy Spirit lives inside of you if you are a child of God. And sometimes we try to live our spiritual life on our own strength. And it's like trying to put our fist through the wall to run that wire. But God's ultimately saying to you, hey, I'm right here. I have power to help strengthen you. Some application of this area is in asking the question, where do you need God's power? Do you have a job that's draining you and you're not using God's power? Do you have a strained relationship? Do you have a sinful habit that you can't break? God's power is available to help you. Just pray, Lord, give me endurance and give me patience with joy. That's what this passage says. The next thing we see is in verse 12, overflowing with thanks. You know, when I think about gratitude, I believe that it's a huge sign of spiritual maturity. When you come to the place where you are thankful and grateful, and it just flows on your lips, it's a sign of walking with God. You know what thankfulness does? It guards you against bitterness. It guards you against discouragement. Thankfulness even guards us against self-pity. Sometimes we begin to feel sorry for ourselves. I can get in funks like that, and my wife's always saying, now remember, Christ is on your side. Did God call you to this? And she's reminding me of things where I lie to my own self as to things that are not true. And she reminds me of truths because I get to the point where sometimes I'm not grateful and thankful for the good things. The last thing we see here is the blessings of redemption. In verses 12 to 14, In verse 12, he says, "Give thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints of light." What's happening now in this specific passage is Paul is moving from what we're supposed to do to what God has done. See, God is at work in your life. There are certain things that He's called you to do to be obedient. One of those things is to grow spiritually. But He's also at work in you. And we need to understand that. As we come to this last section of verses, there is the blessing of being redeemed. What does the word redeemed mean? It means to be bought back. Before, we were following after the world, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2. We were following after sinful ways. It says we were following after the prince of the power of the air. But now you have been changed. You have been redeemed. I bought you back. You are a child of mine. You are part of the family of God. And one of the very first things that he tells us in verse 12 is that he qualified us. And you're like, what does that mean? You're going to like what it means. Because it means all the way back to Abraham, when God specifically gave Abraham the Abrahamic covenant and said, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to take care of you. It's part of that, which was extended to Israel. And Israel began to see the blessings of God. And you know what that means for us as believers now in the New Testament? Is that the Bible says that God has prepared a place for you. He has prepared an opportunity for you. In verse 5 of chapter 1, it says that we will have an inheritance that is laid up for us in heaven. You understand what an inheritance is from our culture, but think about it from a spiritual standpoint. That God, our Father, and we as His children are going to take care of us. We have a relationship with us, or we have a relationship with Him, and He cares for us. And the Bible says that He is going to give us an inheritance. That the inheritance is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. And also, eventually, we're going to spend eternity with Him. I'm looking forward to that day because sometimes on this earth, there are a lot of struggles. And I'm looking forward to that. But what does this idea mean that He qualified us? God didn't just accept us because we were good enough. God qualified us. He made us acceptable. He welcomed us into His family because of His great love. There's nothing that we've done to earn salvation. I don't know if we could think about it from this standpoint. Imagine getting hired at a job that you were never qualified for. But your employer said, I'm going to train you. I'm going to equip you. I'm going to give you everything that you need to succeed. And that is exactly what God has done for us. That is the gospel. That is His graciousness and His mercy. Because when He looked at us before Christ, what did He see? He saw a messed up person that's full of sin. But as Jesus Christ went to the cross for us, and Jesus' blood was shed for us, and we placed our faith and trust in Jesus Christ, now God the Father doesn't see Ted Jones. He sees Jesus' blood, and He sees Jesus through me, and He has qualified me, even though I'm not capable of it, but He is. So what has God done for us? He's qualified us. The next thing in this verse is that He has delivered us from darkness. We were once under the authority of darkness, sin, shame, fear, and condemnation, but God rescued us. The passage says that He delivered us. God took us away from the dark power, and he moved us into the light. Think about a firefighter. He doesn't run in a burning building and hand someone a self-help book as to how to get out of the house. What does a firefighter do? He runs in and he rescues people. He carries them out. See, God in this situation just didn't walk in and give us advice. He rescued us. And there is nothing we've done on our own. And so what is the application of this? Don't run back to the darkness that God has saved you from. Don't live like a slave to your sin when God has set you free from it. When temptation pulls you backwards, remind yourself, no, 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 I don't have to do that anymore. I'm a child of God. I can live different. I've been qualified. I've been delivered. And the next thing the passage says is that you've been transferred to the kingdom of the Son. There's a transfer that has taken place in this passage. And now you're a part of the family of God. You're part of the kingdom of God. You belong to Jesus. Your citizenship has been changed. And even when someone comes and moves permanently to a new nation, their loyalty, their law, and identity change. They live under new authority. And in Christ, your spiritual citizenship has changed. You belong to God's kingdom now. So you might even ask yourselves this question. Does this decision reflect the kingdom that I belong to? Or am I trying to follow the past kingdom that I lived under for 30 years? We also see from this passage that we have redemption and forgiveness. That Christ has redeemed us. Imagine you owe a debt. And you go to that website and you look at your debt. And you see paid in full. And it wasn't you that did it, but it was actually somebody else. And think about Jesus in that same way. That he went to the cross and he paid your debt that you owed. And it says, paid in full by Jesus Christ. You owe nothing. God, thank you for the forgiveness. Thank you for redeeming us. In closing, this passage paints a beautiful picture of Christian maturity, of a mind that's filled with God's wisdom, a life that is pleasing to Jesus, fruit that blesses others, growth that never stops, strength that endures through the power of Christ, gratitude that overflows, salvation that anchors everything. In closing today, I wrote up this prayer, and if you were to pray this passage of Scripture, it would be this exact thing. This is something that you can take with you this week. If you want to, you can even pull out your phone, take a picture of this. This week, pray Paul's prayer for yourself. Lord, fill me with your wisdom. Lord, help me to walk worthy of you. God, strengthen me with your power. God, make me thankful. And let me live in the joy of your salvation. May it be so in us. Amen. I think this is a prayer as we reflect back on this passage of Scripture this week. Just asking ourselves, Lord, am I being filled with wisdom? Am I pursuing your power? Am I thankful? A lot of things to think about today. But spiritual growth is intentional. What are you doing to grow your spiritual life? No one else will be held accountable for it but you. No one else is going to allow you to grow more than you. Let's pray. Dear Father, so thankful for the time to be able to come and look at your word. And we ask, Father, that you would just help us to continue to grow in our walk with you. Thank you, Lord, for what you have done for us, and help us to walk in you every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Who stands and closes the door?